Start to do in May, and we're all going to be in a connect group. We're all going to join your connect group if we're not in a connect group, because it's great to actually connect with other people. And so what I thought we'd do the next couple of weeks and during these two Sundays of school holidays is talk about disciples make disciples. Who knows that if you're a disciple, you should be making contact with people that are other disciples, but also those who don't know God, and perhaps move them a little bit closer as well. So I want to talk about it this morning. So I'll just have a sip of water and we'll get into it. If you turn to your Bibles, John chapter 15, John 15. There's some key scriptures I want to talk to from there. Excellent. So John 15. Verse 3 says this in the New Living Translation: "You have already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by the message I have given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and then you cannot be fruitful apart from me." So these next 2 weeks, I'm going to talk this morning more about one part of this chapter, more about love, and next week I'm going to talk more about the fruit. And let's go down to verse 7, and it says this: "But if you stay joined to me and my words, remain in me, you may ask any request you like, and it will be granted." Who thinks that's pretty cool? So when you remain in God, when you stay in the love of God, when you stay connected and have a relationship with God, you can ask anything of him, and it will be granted. Who thinks we need to have faith in God for that to happen? Yeah. We need to stay in relationship with him. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. All right. And so, and then verse 9 and 12, "I have loved you even as the Father has loved you." And it says again, over and over in this chapter, "Remain in my love." Let's say it together. Remain in my love. When you obey me, oh, don't you love Jesus? When you obey me, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father and remain in his love. All right, and then it goes on, verse 11. "I have told you this so that you will be filled with joy." Who'd like some more joy in their life? So when we remain in God, we have the full joy of everything that God has for us. Our life is better when we're doing God's work than when we're doing our own. That brings the joy. How incredible. And let's just finish the little bit here. "I command you," verse 12, "to love each other." Wow, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Look around the room. "I command you to love one another in the same way that I love you." So there are two things running through this passage that I'm going to speak about. My true disciples in John 15 verse 8, my true disciples produce much fruit. And secondly, in verse 12, "I command you to love each other in the same way that I love you." And so disciples are known by two key things. We are known by our fruit, and we are known by our love for one another. Yeah, yeah. Both are necessary. Both are, but I guess one is kind of a cornerstone, because Jesus even said it before he left to go to be the right hand of the Father. He said, if there's two greatest commandments, love God and then love one another. So the greatest thing we can do is to love one another. The greatest thing we can do is actually have love for God, which creates love for one another. And in verse 13, at John 13, if you want to flick backwards, John 13, 35, it says this: "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Wow. That's pretty serious stuff. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So what Jesus is saying in the Gospel of John 15, which he's already talked about in the previous chapters, is all fruitfulness assumes that we have an intimacy with and a love for our God, first and foremost. You are going to walk in victory I don't know about you, but I'd rather walk in victory than just live a mundane life. I would rather be achieving something in my life than not achieving anything at all. So you're going to walk in victory because you understand what God has already done for you. He has died on the cross for you. He loves you. And because He loves you, you're accepted by God. And because you're accepted by God, you have that you can do the same things that Jesus did on this earth, the Bible says. Who thinks you'd be walking in victory if you can pray for your friend and they are healed? And so, you know, there's plenty of things that involved in this. And so because of what He has done for you, yield to God's presence in your life. So it's actually, you've got to recognize that God wants you to yield to Him. In rather than if you don't want to use the word yield, God wants you to actually come into relationship with Him on a frequent basis. He wants to know who you are. He wants to engage with you. And similarly to what I asked this morning, I guess, because when we engage our mouth and how much we love God, He's able to put His Spirit into our hearts, and together we love, our love goes up. And so this is a really good thing. And so when we've got that kind of a love going on, that kind of a faith, because really when you've got love in your heart, faith grows, right? Yeah, yeah. So once that faith is growing in your life, what's going on is quite incredible, because when the storms of life come, am I the only one that has storms in my life? Do you have storms in your life? John, you don't have any storms in your life. Mate, you must be the closest guy to heaven I know. And so when we have troubles, when we have things but we can go to God and we can know that there is going to be an answer because God loves us. It's the relationship of Father and Son, which we've spoken about in the Word already. No matter what goes down in your life, you know God is still with you. And people have tried to analyze this, people that don't know God, or atheists and all those kind of people that think that how can this be, that even in some of the most critical situations, people still put their faith in God. We know that no matter what happens, even if it means death, we go to be with our Lord. And so it's a powerful thing. Mostly, in Western society, what it means is that we're going to prevail once again. That no issue is going to get a hold of us and make our life so terrible that God's going to prevail. There is going to come a season where we're going to just know that if you're going through a hard time, that God's still going to be with you as you hang in there, and that you're going to come through it, and God is going to reward your faithfulness. That's what happens when we have a relationship with God. Look what happened to Jesus. He's on the cross. What happened? And he actually obeyed the Father, and then he went to be in resurrection life and came down and visited his disciples. How excited was Jesus then? So in your soap readings, who's been reading their soap program? Just give me a wave. Fantastic. If you would like a book, anyone like a book for the soap program, just give me a wave. If you're, yes, Pamela, could you go get a couple of books, guys? They're just out on the, just there on the left, literally. Just there outside the door on the left. Pamela, just pop your hand up for a sec. Anyone else like a soap reading book? Pretty, yep, all right. Can you just keep an eye on those guys, please, Rudolph? Fantastic. Thank you. All right, so they'll come to you. In the soap readings this week, you would have read about David in the book of 1 Samuel. Now, he and about 400 other people had been chased by Saul for a long period of time. And they're in the cave, which they call Adullam. These guys that have come together with David to be part of his band, if you like, of people. And he was their leader. And they'd been chased and chased, and Saul been trying to kill David. Now, Saul's still the anointed king. But he's gone a bit nuts in his head, and he's trying to kill David. But he's still the anointed king. You with me so far? And so what happens is Saul actually enters into the cave. You can read why yourself. And he enters into the cave, and all of David's 400 men are going, they're going, now's your, quietly, of course, because he's in the cave. He's going, get him. They're going, get him. This is your opportunity. He's trying to kill you. And so they're making all these actions, you know, and they're going like this, and they're going, get him with your dagger and all this. And in the end, David goes, oh, I'd love to get him. But all he did was actually take a little bit of his tunic off, cut a bit of his tunic off. And then after he's taken that bit of tunic off, and Saul had gone quite a long way away, he calls out back from the cave and he says, I've got something of yours. And I've taken this from you. I could have killed you, but I didn't. I wouldn't dare kill the Lord's anointed. And David was actually even feeling guilty about cutting his tunic off, because he was a man that understood the principles of God. Man, this guy's amazing. Because of David's walk with God, he was able to do things that other people would have just gone, you know what, we can end this right now. And we need to have a relationship with God so that the love of God can prevail in every situation. And I don't know of too many situations that can beat that one. And where there's a guy trying to kill you and you've got an opportunity and you simply allow. He basically said, Saul basically said, I'm going to allow God to fight for me, not my own self. What a powerful thing. And so David's success was the certainty of God's love in every situation. Now I want to show you a diagram, which some of our leaders have already, we've already started. I don't know if you can read that. We might need to, can we make it a little bit bigger or not? All right. We've got on the top there, affection, presence, and wine. Can everyone just about read it? Give me a wave. Just about. Affection, maybe not at the back. All right, so we've got affection, presence, and wine. Maybe get the whiteboard, guys, or is there one quickly around? If not, don't worry about it. Affection, presence, and wine at the top there. You know, let's just talk about affection. Affection's warm, right? Oh, that's better. Affection's kind of like another word for love. Anytime you give someone, who's married here? Come on, give me your hands. Every time your wife or husband gives you a bit of a hug, how do you feel? You feel cool. You feel kind of like, that's, you know, it's very difficult, isn't it? When you like someone and there's a bit of a cuddle or like, sometimes I try this on my kids. Hey, Sarah. And sometimes I'll give a bit of a cuddle, it's very difficult to not accept love, isn't it? So affection is quite an important thing in our life. Who feels better once they've had some affection? Just me? We all like, you know, someone, maybe your boyfriend and girlfriend, the first time you hold hands. Oh, you know, there's something quite special, isn't there? There's something quite incredible about that first touch. It's an affection thing. Affection is giving of your... Thanks, boys. Now I just need to find a pen. Oh, God, look at this. Fantastic. So that's brilliant. Thanks, Rudolph. Gus, awesome. So affection is giving yourself to another. So... affection creates life. Yeah? So before you had the affection, there wasn't as much life. It was kind of now you've had the affection, whatever it is, you're warmer. It's kind of your heart's beating a bit stronger or whatever it is. And so affection cannot be cold. And so when we come into the presence of God, like we did this morning, it's impossible to feel cold, right? Because the love of God is a warmth. The love of God, we've been doing Moving in the Holy Spirit. A lot of us have, as a course, we would thoroughly recommend it. The eight of us that did it together. We're going to do it later in the year, I expect. Phil Pringle, and it's a Bible college unit that we've done the last 8 weeks, I think it is. And the point is that when we actually are just waiting on God, there's warmth that comes because it's life. Life is not cold. Have you ever tried to be totally passive or disengaged when someone is trying to show you affection? It's really difficult. And so who'd like the full love of all the things that God has for your life? Am I the only one? Lord, I want to enjoy the presence of God in my life. I want to enjoy His love in my life. So if we're going to enjoy the full presence of God, the full affection of God in our world, we've got to actually start to open up to Him so that He can come and fill us. So when we come into the house of God and we can determine to be passive or kind of like nonchalant about the worship, or we can say, you know what, I'm going to enjoy God for all He is. I'm not going to back down because I love the Lord my God. I'm glad I'm going to a better place than right here, right now. And I'm going to enjoy every moment of it. I'm going to love and enjoy the people you have put me with in the church. And we're going to enjoy His love together. Affection propels us. When you've had a little bit of affection, how much better do you feel for that whole day? Affection propels you. When you've had a little bit of affection from God, a little bit of love from God, affection propels you through your day. And in more than that, what happens is that God often speaks to you when you've had that time with God and that you've enjoyed His love in your life. And sometimes it's just for reading one verse. That's all it is. But it actually propels you through your day. Look at this, Matthew 22:37, which has kind of become our key scripture for our church, which we are now re-envisioning, I guess. Love God, each other, the community. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, for this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. You can't do love the Lord your God and then try and do love your neighbor. At some point, it will fall down. If you are going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, it will require you to be focused. And so I think with affection, I'll just write affection this way. With affection, together we can have unity of heart on this. Yes? Together we can do this. Affection. I know I'm a terrible writer, drawer, everything, but hey. Affection is an amazing thing. And so Jesus says, remain in my love. When you obey me, we go back to John 15, you will remain in my love. You've heard the saying, love is blind. You can see no wrong in the other person. They are just so wonderful. It's not long before you're making wedding plans and all those things. But this is what affection in God should be like. Wow. God, there is nothing that you can do wrong. And there really isn't. So if we are going to make disciples, who'd like to be a better disciple maker? If we are going to make disciples, the Bible says, go therefore and make disciples. Matthew 28. We must first be a disciple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Remain in my love, John 15 says. Affection looks beyond judgment and justice. How can I get back at that person? I mean, it's on telly at the moment, isn't it? Didn't I see an advert the other day for, is it called Revenge? We don't live like that. Secondly, which John talked about, is the word presence. Presence. Pastor John talked about this just before Easter. Presence. The presence of God. There's something special about the presence of God in our life. Presence speaks of our desire for God. In Exodus 33:15, it was Moses said, if you don't go with us personally, he was talking about the Lord, if you don't go with us personally, Lord, don't let us move a step from this place. We need God in every part of our life. And so we need God's guidance. What are you saying? What he's doing. We need to see what God's doing in our world. We rely on his friendship. We rely on his compassion. We rely on his kindness and his mercy. We become confident through his presence on our life. You have confidence for the issues and situations you're facing because you have the presence of God on your life. So presence describes how we are with others and ourselves. John 15:12. Let's go there for a moment. I command you to love each other. And in the same way that I love you. And then verse 17 says, I command you to love each other. And I believe Jesus repeats the same phrase as he often does throughout the Gospels. Because he wants his disciples to hear over and over and over again, love one another. Love God, love one another. Love God, love one another. Love one another. Love your husband. Love. When you've got God's love, you can love even when it's difficult. And one of the best ways to improve your loving other people skills in our church is going to be through a connect group. There is no doubt about it. Hey, Avena. And next month, we're launching this 40 Days of Purpose through our connect groups, which will meet fortnightly through May 20 to July 1. And I love the fact that Jesus, when he broke bread with his disciples, he actually got amongst his people, and he often would share a meal with them. He often would just hang out with them. There is nothing wrong with hanging out. Who knows that we don't always have to be doing the work? It's great to hang out to get to know people. And so the best place to do that is over a bit of food, whether it be a meal, and get to know one another. And then we're turning connect groups, if you like, from May 20 into discipleship groups so that we know that you're being looked after. We know that each group, that those people are being discipled. They're actually they're helping others, and you're getting help too. There's time for prayer for one another. There's time to enjoy one another. What an incredible thing. So when we are with others, we are with them. Now let me explain this. We actually are listening to what they're saying. We're actually trying to understand where that person is coming from. We're really trying to get into their world. We're not simply waiting for our opportunity to say what we're doing next. We really try to absorb that person into our world so that we can encourage love. And perhaps if we heard something that's a need, and I know some of you already do this, we actually do practical needs as well. So when we are with others, we are with them. We're undistracted. We're aware of their state of mind. We're listening to them. And presence is being alive to God, others, and self. Sometimes we're ready to do something, but God will say, hang on, just hold back. They haven't quite finished yet. And so you allow God to shape the conversation. And thirdly, the last one I want to talk about this morning is wine. Wine. Now, wine is simply a term for celebration. Wine is a term for enjoying. You know, Susan, the Africans stole the show last weekend, didn't they? The Liberians stole the show. Were you here? Yeah? They stole the show. It was fun. But what I loved about it was actually all the work that had gone in behind the scenes, all the preparation from the music team from all the people. I think we found a new MC. Where is he? He's here somewhere. Kevin. Kevin. Wow. Let's give him a hand. You know, I was thinking, my goodness, we should have had you up from the very start. You were polished, man. Well done. So good. Who'd like Kevin to go? Oh, shouldn't say that. That's too late. but it was a celebration, wasn't it? Those who were here, the Sunday was a fantastic celebration. There was the wine. It was like, it was all worth it. Wine is a desire for God and what He wants to do. And so we're prepared to put in the love. We're prepared to put in allowing His presence to come. We're prepared to work with others in the house of God, because ultimately we are going to see the love of God prevail. And I want to say this. God is fun. God is great fun. Some people have a wrong concept of who God is. He's not some ogre up there saying, don't do that and don't do this. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. And so wine describes the place of celebration. And we might not feel like rehearsing our lines at times, when, like if it's Easter production or Christmas or Mother's Day or whatever. But it represents a surrender to God, doesn't it? A place of surrendering our egos. Because if we're going to love one another, we have to surrender our egos. If we're going to love one another, we're going to surrender our pride. And we're going to work with teams that perhaps wouldn't do things exactly the same as you. Even in church, we work in teams. But we're prepared to surrender for the good of the whole. And so you allow God to move in power in your life. We savor. I love this word. It's like a good wine. We savor His moving in and through our lives. And we rejoice. We rejoice with other people. We rejoice with individuals. And in connect groups, it should be a fantastic rejoicing of what God's doing in each of our lives. And so our inhibitions drop. Our expressions become more enlivened. And our hearts are strangely warmed because we know He is near. And so wine is an excellent balancer, because if you do all the work and you don't have any fun, man. And so we've got to have celebration. And even after Jesus' resurrection, He came back to His disciples. The Bible says, Yana, perhaps you could come. The Bible says on several occasions, and in many instances, what did Jesus do with His disciples? He ate a meal with them. He connected with them. And I would encourage each one of us, if you're not in a connect group, I would encourage you to join one. I would encourage you to eat and enjoy company with one another. Because the thing that's going to build your life is not simply the Sunday, but actually enjoying one another and being discipled by one another. You know, I learn so much even in my own family environment from my own children, because they come at it from a different perspective. We need each other. Why don't we stand to our feet for a moment? I'm going to read you a scripture as we close this meeting this morning. If you'd like some prayer, I'd love to pray with you at the end. That's fine. But let me read this as like a prayer over our lives today. When you obey me, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father and remain in His love, I have told you this so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. I command you to love each other, and in the same way that I love you. So Father, today I pray of every person represented here, every person in every connect group or about to join one, Father, every person, Father, I pray the love of God and the love for one another to pervade everything we do in this church. In the mighty name of Jesus. People of God said, amen. God bless you. Have an awesome rest of your day.